We're back, and you guys all asked for him, and we love to give the public what they want. Everybody's been clamoring for David Mills, contributor, special contributor to the Talking Mets podcast. You guys always know you could check out his work with shortstops occasionally, with some thoughts about the team, and is very popular and well-done, well-researched, and increasingly sought-out information about the Mets farm system and top prospects done in his own way. David Mills is joining the program. Figured right after the All-Star break, let's check in with him. Let's see what's going on with the farm system. And as we enter extended spring training, the Mets farm and the Mets future and what Dave sees is ever so important. So, Dave, welcome to the program. Happy Sunday. How you feeling? Not so great about the Mets, even though they had a nice couple of games this weekend, but rough season. And I would say that what we saw this weekend from McClain and Scott, that's kind of the hope that we need to hold on to. And those are the reasons why there may not be the, you know, it's not the empty cupboard that everybody seems to believe the Mets are.
I think it was even more than just those performances by the hurlers. And you know, today, I think we saw what we've all been waiting for. Obviously, Lindor got off the snide, and we had, you know, really good performances from all the young guys. And, you know, just watching those guys hit and how hard they hit the ball and, you know, even their outs. I'm telling you, Ewing, he's just, you know, I'm really proud of the fact that we had him as our number one prospect. A lot of other people had them on the list somewhere between two and five, but nobody else had him as number one. And I'm pretty proud of that. And there was all these reasons that you're seeing are the reasons that he was number one. But he's exciting. Benj is exciting. And Benj really came from out of nowhere at the end of, you know, starting in maybe the middle of May, towards the end of May, he just started hitting and doing things right. And, you know, I have a lot of, you know, when something like this happens and you basically lost the season before the All-Star game, all you can do if you're a real fan is try to say, okay, let's stay as positive as we can. Let's look at what we have and how can we build for the future. And I don't think it's that bleak, actually. I think there were a lot of people who didn't perform and injuries hurt.
No, I completely agree. And I think here's the thing. You've got, and I said this in the open, you got Scott McClain. And I'm really interested to see how Thornton actually performs against the Brewers this week on the road. Good team, a team that for a contact pitcher, a guy that, you know, keeps the ball in the zone. Be interesting how he performs against that kind of offense. You have your Soto. I think Lindor, I don't think he's done. I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't think Bichette's going anywhere. When you add Benj and Ewing, you have a pretty good fivesome right there. Now, does Alvarez or Beatty join the club? We'll see. Alvarez performs better as a DH. I know not a lot of people like my idea I put out there about maybe making Alvarez a full-time DH. I know that brings away some flexibility or takes away some flexibility. But to me, you have something to work on here. It's not hopeless. And Stearns already shown that he could find some players around the margins, particularly with the bullpen. I think seeing what they have, and if those guys, the young pitchers and the core offensive players, are who we think they are, that gives you eight guys to go into 27. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good eight core players on a 26-man roster. And, I mean, Santucci had 13 strikeouts today. I know that, you know, Wenninger and Santucci, you've talked about them not being necessarily ready. Maybe they're bullpen arms. But
I
there
like
is some
bullpen arms.
Yeah, and there is some bullpen arms that are emerging in the system. So I think they'll be okay in the bullpen. Morabito probably gets called up to play against lefties, right? Or bench player. Maybe that's what August brings for more with him. They don't have much else positionally. We'll see what the deadline brings. I don't think the cupboard's bare. I think there's reason to be optimistic that at this time next year, we could be talking about a team looking to acquire and make a run at a playoff spot. I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I'm not saying they're a favorite to win the World Series or win a pennant. But once you get into that tournament, as we saw in 24, anything could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. I'm seeing pitching. What we're getting out of McClain, who's, you know, had that little down spell that he had maybe for like four outings. And he's pitching fantastically. That performance today was absolutely brilliant. The two out of the three starts that Thornton made, and
Yeah.
by the way, he was a number four pitcher on our
Yep.
list.
You were high on him before
Yes.
everybody.
And the
You have.
reason, he has command. And when you have
Yep.
command, it's going to be easier to break into the show.
Yep.
These days, even when a pitcher's considered in the old days, they used to call, there were left-handed pitchers who were what was the name? They used to put like junk ball pitchers,
Junk
whatever.
ball, you
And
know,
every
slop. They were like throw slop, you know, guys like Craig Lefferts, you know, guys
yeah.
like that, lefties like that back in the day.
And now everybody, even if they're, kind of what you might call a junk ball pitcher, they're throwing 92 to 94 with their fastball.
That's, yeah, I mean, Thornton is a guy that throws about 90 to 92. So by today's standards, that's considered slow.
Yeah.
By like 25 years ago, he's a hard thrower. I saw a couple of 94s that popped our last outing. I think that the real question, and to me, what will save Stearns' job in 24 months-ish is if the farm system, I know it's dropped to the mid-20s, but they had three major promotions the last 12 months. Actually, four, if you count Thornton, McClain, and the two kids, the two outfielders. Scott was on TJ, but he's technically a fifth because he didn't pitch that much in 24 during the OMG summer. That's a significant amount of impactful players from a system that was top five, maybe even one. Now, you evaluate the system. We were talking offline. You didn't feel that it was worth really reshuffling the deck now. We have no idea what these draft picks are going to be. It's too soon. And seeing that all these promotions have impacted the farm and kind of thrown in a little topsy-turvy, we're somewhat in an evaluation phase, it seems like.
Yes. Right now, I've talked about this before. The Mets, when Stearns traded 11 guys, basically, in the middle of last year, I think it was nine. Then he traded Jett Williams and Sproat for Peralta.
Maybe he
There
gets them back for Peralta. Who
were,
knows?
I think basically, Sproat had a great start about a start or two ago. I think what's happened is they depleted the system. So there were so many pitchers. There were nine pitchers and 11 total in that first move, and then there were the two more. So you have to rebuild that. You can't lose nine pitchers and then 10 with Sproat and not expect that you're not depleting the system. You are. The worst part about it was they didn't end up with anybody, even the submariner. So I mean, we needed at least one guy to come through and sign with the Mets for a 1 to 3 years, but it didn't happen. But there's some talent out there. I mean, what I did was I put together a little list of outfielders, corner infielders, middle infielders, and catchers that I'm watching in the system. And to be frank, it's really hard to analyze the rookies. So I have it at Syracuse, Binghamton, Brooklyn, St. Lucie, and rookie ball. Because the Mets, like most teams, have two rookie ball teams. They have the blue and the orange. And they play in the Dominican Republic. But let's start with the outfielders, because the interesting part with the outfield is you look at the Mets outfield now, and it's basically an outfield you could see being there for 6 or 7 years, without a doubt. I mean, if anybody thinks that any of these guys are going to be traded away or, of course, injuries happen, but I think this outfield's pretty set. So they're all left-handed hitters. The only outfielders that are going to have a chance to move through the system and get to the show are going to be right-handed hitting outfielders. So the guy with the best chance right now, we saw for, I think, a few games, what, he had 11 at-bats, and that was Nick Morabito. He struck out nine times. He didn't look very good. He looked kind of overmatched. He went back to Syracuse, and he's been tearing it up ever since.
And he's really good against left-handed pitching. I think his
Very
OPS is
good.
like 920 against left-handed
Yep.
pitching.
He's the perfect guy to come in there and replace Tyrone Taylor. Because now Tyrone Taylor is hot as a
He's
pistol
hitting
right
well.
now.
Yeah, all of a sudden he figured out how to hit.
This is something that I think Stearns was counting on, because he did show some of this power and speed, and he always was a good outfielder when he was with the Brewers. But he, and so I think the Mets have three guys who have tremendous value at the trade deadline. And number one, Alvarez. But why does Alvarez have, why are we able to say Alvarez could be moved? Well, the Mets are incredibly deep at in the catching position, and that starts with the two guys, Torrens and Senger. Those two guys are ranked by some major league organizations in the top five of defensive catchers all over. And
Now,
that's
Dave, just to stop you there, in a lineup that has a glove guy at second and maybe lacking one bat, particularly at, if you want to talk about the corner, first base, right? Can they afford to do a catch and throw 100% of the time behind the plate? They can't afford that, to in my opinion. They can't afford to have that catch and throw in a lineup that may only be five or six deep at that point. That's the issue. Where Alvarez's bat, now he's not a good catcher. Everything that he was praised about, that Scherzer praised him about a couple of years back, he's kind of regressed on all that. And I
Yeah, but
think,
that could be regained. I have
okay.
no doubt about that. And here's the thing. Torrens, look at today. He had two key hits today. So you're a little too young to remember this, but you'll know what I'm talking about. Jerry Grody was known as an all defense,
Right.
little offense catcher. And he was amazing because he would come up there in like clutch situations. And I used to be happy when he came up in a clutch situation because he would get doubles like out of the blue. They just, oh, he gets a double in a clutch situation. Torrens is very similar. I actually think Torrens is a better hitter because he goes to the opposite field more.
Sure.
And Senger also has some hidden power. I think if he was playing more, he would develop his power. But to have two of the top five defensive catchers who aren't going to embarrass you, especially Torrens isn't going to embarrass you at the plate. But it's so important to the pitching staff. It's so important to keeping the running game in check. That and then the Mets have depth, and so we go back to my list here. At they have Senger at Syracuse. At Binghamton, they have Chris Suero. At Brooklyn, they have Ronald Hernandez, who has a really interesting hit tools. He's a switch hitter. His catching, he still needs a little help with, but he's a very interesting, and he has speed. Then Diverson Gutierrez, and then they have Ivani Rodriguez in one of their Dominican teams. And he's batting about 292 right now and really tearing it up. I think he has five home runs, which is not an easy league. People don't hit home runs in that league. So if you have that much depth, then that piece, and nobody really wants to see Alvarez go.
Right.
Really want to. I think if he goes to another team, he's going to turn into a hell of a ball
Oh,
player.
and if he hits 25 home runs and 80 RBIs part-time catching for another team, Mets fans are going to go crazy. See, it would have to be a nice haul. I think out of all the baby Mets, and I think that term is like ran its course, we know that Vientos is probably at best a lefty masher, part-time player, DH, no position in the field. And Beatty to me is an enigma because he's a tall guy without power. He's improved his defense exponentially. They've moved him around the field and he's done a good job there. But right now, he looks like a backup bench player at best. Like, I don't see anything. I know he's been hitting better of late. So Alvarez is what's left of that core group of young players that we expected to now be. And one of the reasons why I think they were comfortable letting Alonso walk and trading Nimmo and letting McNeil walk was, they thought Beatty would take the next step. Maybe Vientos would take a piece of the peak production. Alvarez would stay healthy. None of that's happened. Now, Alvarez is an interesting case because he still has decent production. A little anxious in big spots. Not the headiest guy in terms of working counts and things like that. Catching skills have eroded. I don't know if there's a reason for that. But, it would depend on the return. And I guess that's the key. Can the Mets get a special return because of his youth, his controllability, and his promise of
Well, I
maybe
think
fulfilling that potential?
he matches up fantastically for the Red Sox. Now, he was matching up very nicely for the Padres, but I think the Padres have fallen out of the race. I think they've lost 13 out of their last 15 or something like
Yep.
that. And they're just kind of a mess right now. But The Red Sox are perfect. The Red Sox have eight starting pitchers who are left-handers, and you're telling me they couldn't give up one or two of those guys for Alvarez? I have to believe that
I would
that,
have to believe they would. Now,
yeah.
it's interesting you bring up the Red Sox because a lot of the dialogue on social media has been Mets waited too long to change managers. Look at the Red Sox. They not only changed managers, they blew up their coaching staff. A very difficult decision, controversial decision made by Craig Breslow, which could have been coming from ownership. And now they've won 13 in a row. So just 2 weeks ago, they were the Mets. And now they're in wild card contention. They're still a 500 team. So what's the difference? How do the Red Sox do it? Why can't the Mets? Are the Red Sox that much better and more talented? I thought that they had outstanding pitching. I thought they had a pretty good team when I saw them at Citi Field a week ago.
Well, we did a little study on the Red Sox as opposed to. So 3 weeks ago, I think they had the exact same record. And then in the interim, the Mets had a little thing there where they won like 4 out of 5 or 5 out of 6. And that was a little nice little thing. But then they went right back in the toilet. So if you compare where they are as of a couple of days ago, the Red Sox were third in defense around the major leagues. Starting pitching, they were seventh. Relief pitching, they were third. Offense, 22nd. Base running, ninth. The Mets, 21st in defense. And by the way, 6 weeks ago, at the end of May, the Mets were, they had moved into like the fifth spot or fifth or sixth spot in defensive runs saved. Now they've dropped to, I think it's like 20, just like 24th or 25th, something like that.
Right.
But so the Red Sox have them big time on defense. Starting pitching, the Mets are 13th to the Red Sox 7. Relief pitching, the Mets are 5 compared to the Red Sox 3rd. Although I don't know, I watch a lot of Red Sox and I still think the Mets bullpen is better than the Red Sox bullpen. But in terms of offense, the Mets are 24th, the Red Sox are 22nd. So and they're ninth in base running as opposed to the Mets being 20. So, who have the Mets missed more from last season? Anton Richardson.
But where are the Braves?
So,
So it's like we give Anton Richardson credit, but I said it's not like the Braves are burners there either.
no, but they're not a running team. And,
Right.
basically, they've been without, the guy who steals the most bases for them.
Sure.
So, it's what it is. But the thing that separated the Mets and the Red Sox 3 weeks ago, beating them,
Sure.
that's it,
But
you
very
start base
interesting.
running
Very
and defense.
interesting that when you bring up those stats, and one of the things that have come up that I'm going to address on the mailbag later. And we'll get some mailbag with you incorporated into this conversation is why do I feel that the Mets can be competitive next year? And I think that some of the small things like defense, I think right now the Mets, you mentioned it with Ewing, I don't think Lindor is done. I think Lindor's defense is more up here and ahead. He's like rushing. It's almost like the mind and the body are not in sync. I think Simeon's had an off year. He's been unhealthy, but the history of an above average, nearly gold glove is there. You mentioned Torrens. The Mets up the middle defense is really good. Ed Benj was a great arm in right, and maybe Soto spends more time at DH and you put a better outfielder out there. Bichette's fine at third. We know the first base is the situation, but I'm not really, first base isn't the first position I worry about defensively. I don't think they have the components of a bad defensive club. I think they could be a good defensive club. They've got young pitching. The bullpen seems to be better. They've mitigated the walks. Is that part of Justin Willard or better pitchers? It's a debate. Really, like I said, you just outlined a successful blueprint of pitching and defense
Yes.
and speed. Not necessarily Moneyball or modern lunge and launch type of baseball. You're talking about, to a certain degree, a bit of old school baseball to the Red Sox. And this is, what is it? The Brewers have the least amount of home runs. They have only like 90 home runs and like a third of them about from one player, Jake Bowers or
But
something like
how
that.
many
So.
six? Yeah, Jake has 18 home runs, but the Brewers, I think they lead baseball in successful bunts for hits and bunts for sacrifices.
It's crazy. In
So.
2026, this is like 1970, late 60s baseball. And maybe people are going to start to say, hey, we need to diversify the offense. But I feel good. You mentioned some names in the farm system. They're not going to help next year, per se. But I think that they'll be potentially a pipeline of talent. We don't know what the CBA is going to look like, but I still think that Cohen has some money to spend, even though they're kind of, depending if Bichette opts out, they're kind of at around $300 million already going into next year. But having these young players contribute, particularly Benjamin Ewing, and I think they're only going to get better. I mean, those are guys that, and I think it came up on a mailbag a couple of weeks ago. They're probably giving you $20 to $25 million AAV players worth right now for nothing, right? For league minimum. So you're saving a lot of money there, and
Well,
it should allow you to do some things.
let's go back to the players that I'm watching because I think that should be interesting to our listeners. So also in as outfielders, let's finish the outfields. There's a guy at Brooklyn who I think is super interesting. His name is John Bay. And he's a guy who got, I think he had 5 years of college ball because of the pandemic. Some guys actually got 6 years because of the pandemic, and he went to the Cape Cod League. There's been some really interesting bits out there about him. He has all the skills, and he's playing really good ball. He has power, he has speed, he steals bases. He plays all three. Now, this is another thing we have to mention, because the Mets have three left-handed hitting outfielders. Not only does the fourth outfielder have to be right-handed hitting, like Taylor is, like Morabito is, also has to be able to play all three positions. And that's an absolute. They can't have a guy who's just a corner outfielder. Got to play all three. Bay does it. Morabito does it. They have another guy, JT Benson, at Brooklyn, who's worth watching, and a youngster who I'm really interested in, Herebito Rincon is his name, at St. Lucie, there's a few names. There's Yohairo Cueves, and Sam Biller, and AJ Salago. So, and they're all right. I think one is a left-handed hitting outfielder. Everybody else is right-handed hitting. So, is there the guy to replace Taylor? Yes. There's definitely Morabito who's ready now, and there's Bay who could be ready in as soon as a year. Now let's move to the infield. This is where the Mets are really losing some ground. So middle infielders, yeah, I'd be remiss not to say Ronnie Mauricio because he's down there now working. He's certainly able to play all the middle infield and third base where I think he belongs, and I think he could be Gold Glove caliber. They also have Mitch Voit and Jamari Baylor at Brooklyn. And at St. Lucie, they have Ilian Pena, who may not end up being a shortstop, but could easily be a second baseman or a third baseman, and a guy named Sam Robertson. So these are people to keep your eye on. Everybody's heard of Pena. Sam Robertson, very interesting player. And in rookie league, they have Wandy Osigen, who they kind of stole away from the Yankees. The Yankees were going to sign him or made an offer
Right.
to him.
Right.
But at the corner infield, everybody talks about Ryan Clifford. I just have so many doubts because of his strikeouts. Boy, I mean,
I
he's
mean,
not
if
barreling
by
off the
now,
mark.
the first base is wide open, Young seems to be taking the most reps there. And you would think if Clifford was anywhere near ready, he'd be called up, just like
Yeah.
Ewing, just like Benj. And the amount of swing and miss there, to me, I've talked about him with you and others. I had him as pegged as lottery ticket bust. Out of all of them, I thought he was the most likely to be a bust. I mean, Gilbert's a backup outfielder. Acuna's a basically a pinch runner at this point. None of those guys. And I think that was something that was brought up a lot about the deadline, about on a mailbag, and something I'll address later on, how, the Mets got not much out of Verlander and Scherzer. So that set them back a little. But those were complicated trades.
The
Let's be fair.
corner infield positions, Jacob Reimer is having a, unfortunately, he's not been having a good year, although he's started to come around lately. I still think he's a good hitter, and he really improved his defense at third base. Nick LaRussa is another one who's interesting and worth watching. Of course, at Brooklyn, Corey Collins has been doing pretty well, and I'm assuming that Cole Mathis, he's on the IL, is going to play at Brooklyn, and that was the trade they picked up for Peterson. And another interesting, he has good bat to ball skills. He's very good. He has some power. He's got a little speed, and he could be another interesting guy to watch, especially for those of you in the New York area. If you want to go see Brooklyn, there's so many of these players there. Mitch Voit, I mentioned, he could end up at third base also. But at St. Lucie, there's a guy who I'm really interested in. Two guys, but Randy Guzman is a youngster, about 21, with power. Plays first base, DH, corner outfield type. Boy, his kind of power you don't see very often. And then Antonio Jimenez, who was a shortstop coming to him. I see him as a third baseman, also a very interesting player to watch. And there you have it. I mean, that's not a lot of position
No,
players for a
no.
system of
And
16.
I guess at this point, as you balance competing in 27 versus, building the farm, I mean, that's where trading Peralta, maybe trading Weaver. I mean, to me, I would try to re-sign Clay Holmes. I think he's a good veteran stabilizer for this young rotation. We'll see. I know the White, I've heard some reports that the White Sox are heavily scouting Holmes. That's where the debate goes. Like, can they build up the system, trade those guys, even Holmes? I mean, Weaver, who's been a godsend out of the bullpen, and really realistically replace their production, which has been very good, and compete in 27. I mean, yeah, there's free agency and everything, but you don't know. Once you give up the asset, you don't know if it's easily, we've seen that this year. It's not easily recouped.
Well, I think
So.
what you don't want to do, a lot of people are talking about get rid of all the bullpen arms who have value. Well, sure, they have value. I mean, to me, Brazoban might have more value than some of the others because he's got three years more after this year before he's a free
Right.
agent. And he's cheap. He's ridiculously cheap. Weaver has been so good and has the ability to be a closer. I personally think the Mets will be foolish to trade him,
I agree.
but they have to listen.
I think they'd be foolish to trade Brazenbaum, and I've been a critic of Brazenbaum, but he stepped up this year. He's gotten a
Yes,
lot
he
better.
did.
He
He
stepped
did.
up.
But they have to listen to all offers on
Sure.
anybody, and there's nothing wrong with that. But here's the thing. So it's a perfect example. So you have Raley and Minter, both very, very good to excellent left-handed guys out of the bullpen. Now, they're both going to be free agents at the end of the season. I have no problem with trading one of them, but I don't think they should trade both of them. I think they should keep one and hope that they could re-sign him because one of those guys should be part of the next equation. Now, the Mets have a couple of lefties down below, and one of them is Nate Lavender, who's been pitching well. He was grabbed by the
The
Rays
Rays, and then they
before
didn't keep
last
him.
season in the
Right.
Rule Five. And then
Right.
because he was coming off Tommy John, he really never got the chance to do anything. So they just really at the end of the year they sent him back to the Mets, which was a kind of a weird situation. But he can step in and do the job. If one of those guys goes now, I think he can step right in and fill that slot as a left-handed, middle innings guy. And then as I mentioned before, if they need another guy, I think Santucci is the guy.
Yep.
Now, I think they could bring him up again at the beginning of August if they get rid of one of those or both of those lefties. Bring Santucci up, let him get his experience, let him get his feet wet. And that's, they could do the same thing with a few right-handers they have. But I will say this, Lambert and some of the other guys who we felt were going to be there, Dylan Ross, Will
No.
Watson, they're all
Yeah.
struggling this
They're
year.
struggling. Yeah, they're struggling at that. I mean, Weininger is not bad, but he's given up a lot of walks in Syracuse. A lot of
He
walks.
started out great. I still say that
Yeah.
he has a splitter that's really good. And anybody who's got a really good splitter, you're not going to give up on. And
No.
he could end up in the bullpen, and that splitter is money in that bullpen.
Right.
So that's what you have there. But yeah, I mean, the prospect thing isn't terribly exciting, but in 3 weeks, it might be very exciting
Sure.
if they make the deals. But I don't think the Mets are going to make deals just for only for prospects. I think the Mets are going to, if it's a prospect, it's going to be somebody who's ready to play in the show next year. That's what
Right.
they're going to be looking for, not the long-term prospects. And that changes the focus too, because there's a smaller field to choose from.
Sure. And what's interesting is the Mets haven't even really, this Cole Mathis they got from the Cubs for David Peterson. I don't even know what the hell, where, if he, you don't even know if he's in the organization. There's
He
no,
is. He's on the IL.
he's on the IL.
Yeah.
So
I think the
there you go.
intention was to put him in Brooklyn,
Yeah.
but because he's on the IL, they're probably going to make a decision about based on where how their roster,
Sure.
stands out.
Sure. Sure. The whole thing. So.
But all of these things, what a lot of people don't realize is it goes back to that Alvarez. How deep are you at a particular position to allow you to trade off a piece like an Alvarez or a piece like a Brazoban or a piece, any of those bullpen pieces or a starting pitcher if they had to.
Sure,
And
sure.
it has a lot to do with that internal depth.
So Dave, how would you, let's put the GM hat on you. You got a lot of experience watching this game. You've exposed yourself on the developmental side. You've been able to talk to a lot of people who are very knowledgeable about how teams are run. How would you build, maybe not this team in general, if you want to be general, specific, whatever, how would you build this team to be a competitive in the near term? What would you do? What is your blueprint as we kind of wrap this whole segment up? What's your blueprint on that?
Well, I think you mean for the balance of this year or
Well,
which?
in general, like how would you build? Like you have principles, it sounds like, you know, as we talk to you, you've been pointing out how the Red Sox are doing it. And we talked about Milwaukee and you mentioned left-handed pitching and all these other things. So you have strong beliefs on how a team should be built.
I do.
And what are those? Because I think the fans would want to understand that because that'll give an inkling as to maybe, I don't know if the Mets would agree, but maybe some of the reasons why you're high or you like certain aspects of, you know, the organization, the prospect, what have you.
I'm a huge believer that you fill your pitching roster with as many left-handers as you possibly can of different arm slots, and you fill your positional roster, hitting roster, with as many left-handed and switch hitters as you possibly can. Now, and I did a little deep dive into how right-handed hitters have been doing against left-handed pitchers. And left-handed hitters against left-handed pitchers, as opposed to right-handed hitters, right-handed pitchers, and left-handed hitters against right-handed pitchers. And I'm borne out, but I could go through those and tell you. But in every one of those situations, left-handed hitters hit lefties, hit righties, obviously much better than they hit lefties, but they hit lefties better than the right-handed hitters hit righties. Okay. So, we could actually put this into my next article so people could actually see it in front of them rather than me throw it out there
Sure.
orally.
But you give them like comment. It's good to see a component of it, though,
Yes.
you know.
And what I used was batting average, OPS, WOBA, and WRC plus. And WOBA and WRC plus are what the major league front offices love to use. And OPS, I think, is a little bit easier for, the baseball fan to understand. I don't think batting average will ever go away. I think it has its place, but OPS, I think, for the common fan is a really good thing to look at. But I think that the Mets are basically designed this way. I love the fact that they gave a chance to Young to prove what he could do. And I've been very happy. Keith Hernandez said, I
He
think he's
likes him. He
playing
likes him defensively.
very good first baseman. I mean, he's doing everything you need to do. He's got a good arm. He's accurate. I mean, that was one of the knocks against Pete. I think that if you had a right-handed hitting complement to him, that would be a great position to platoon out of. Wagamen is interesting, but I haven't got to see enough of him. I think it's hard when he's only playing, once a week or something like that to show what you've got. He's got some power. But the Mets have, I think they have what it takes right now. It's a matter of can they get off the schneid earlier in the season, which has always been a problem, except for one year for Lindor. I think the Semien situation, it clearly was playing with a nagging injury.
Sure.
I would personally rather see, a young second baseman there who had, but we don't have one right now. But if they were going to go out and make a deal, can they make a deal for a really top-notch young second baseman? Well, possibly, but what do you do with Semien? You owe him a lot of money. Third base, are they going to, is Bichette going to stick around? You know, I have a tough time believing that anybody's going to give Bichette $42 million a year for the next 2 years after this.
Yeah, he's been inconsistent, and he was back to normal in June. I think there's some concerns on the knee. Let's face it, the knee still seems to be barking a little bit. I think he's fine at third base. I think he has a good attitude. I think he's going to be, and he's still very young. And I think if you put him at the right position, and you manage that knee health, and maybe he just lets it fly. I know he's been struggling in July, but maybe the knee and he had to sit before the All-Star break played into that. But he was pretty much Bo Bichette in June. It was what, an 8-8, and that was against tough
Yes.
competition. It wasn't like they played a bunch of bad teams with bad pitching. That was some of their toughest competition in the month of June.
His ability to go oppo, as they say in the
Yeah,
game,
Oppo
going to the
Taco.
opposite field, is quite unique. And I don't think anybody does it quite the way he does it. It's almost like he's every time he comes to bat, he wants to go to the opposite field, and he has the ability to do it, which is really interesting. So and he's played a much better defense at third base than I was even remotely expecting.
Sure.
I think he's made some fantastic plays. The only thing that's kept him from being, you know, a little bit more towards maybe a Gold Glove caliber is that he doesn't have a rocket arm. But he's been really good there. I have no problem, and I thought he did a good job filling in at shortstop. I think the Mets thing, I think the injury to Holmes and the injury to Lindor, you know, on the very day that Soto came back from a 3 week hiatus for an injury, the
Sure,
same
sure,
injury but worse for
sure.
Lindor, I think that really messed up the Mets. And you know, I'm not, I mean, injuries have to be a bit of an excuse because they are. Now, on the other hand, we were talking about the Red Sox. Wow, I mean, loaded with
Right.
injuries, and they've been able to come back. And
Right.
now the Mets are healthy, so I think they could show some. Now, the other thing is, they've never had anybody who's really done a good job at the DH. Now, I know it's only been in the National League for 3 years, but they were playing in American
I
League
think
pitchers
that's
in the
where
beginning.
Soto's going to be headed eventually.
I don't think he's going to give up playing the outfield too
Not
easily.
yet, but I mean, talk to me in 2 years.
He's much better in left field than in right field. It's just a more comfortable place for him. Let's talk about the arms in the outfield there. He has a very accurate arm. They all have decent arms. I mean, actually, Ewing's arm is much better than people projected out of the minor leagues. And Benj's powerful arm, not as accurate as Ewing, and not quite as accurate as Soto, but it'll be there. I mean, and his tools are terrific.
Right.
So, you know what? The Mets can't do anything better in the outfield except have a good fourth outfielder as a right-handed hitter, which we talked about. What can they do in the infield? Well, if Bichette stays, he's at third base. If Lindor stays and doesn't get traded, which I doubt,
Sure, I doubt it, yeah.
then he's at, so that left side of the infield is basically set. So it's only the right side of the infield and DH that's the issue. Because if Alvarez doesn't get traded, well, they're set at catcher for quite a few years.
Sure.
Question is, will they use Alvarez as a catcher very much, or will they use him as a DH? And that we don't know. Now, Polanco, let's go to that for a second. I thought that was a great signing. And you know, a lot of these guys who were criticizing it now thought it was a great signing too, but they won't admit it. Well, I admit it.
Right.
I'll point at myself and say I thought it
Right.
was a good signing. But he's been injured. It's even obvious if he had an ankle problem because of his Achilles, it's obvious when he swings that he's having that problem. So,
Sure.
you know, so part of me says, why is he playing? You know, if he's injured, he's injured. And
I think he's probably going to get shut down at some point. I mean, that's probably where it's going, right?
but he could be, as a switch hitter who has some terrific hitting skills, I think he could, he's. Look, they're going to pay him next year $20 million. I doubt he's going to be moved, so they're going to have to play him. So what does that mean? Well, we're now narrowed down to first and second base.
Right.
Nothing else is going to change that much, but
No, you're right.
the
Right.
pitching is where it's at. And that's what the Red Sox are 22nd in hitting, the Mets are 24. So why are the
Right.
Red Sox better? Well, we talked about
Well,
it.
yep.
Pitching, defense, and base running.
It's a great comparison. All right, so we wrap up here. What do you got coming up for the listeners? I keep hearing, like Dave, I keep saying more Mills, more Mills. I put on the chat, Mills is going to be on. You might want to have the David Mills show. It could be like your own variety show at that point, but which you
Too
did
much
do at one
work.
point, you
Yeah,
know.
no, it's too much work. Basically, I want to keep watching the minor leagues. People don't realize it's really tough to get, because I don't have access to what the major league front offices have. It's really hard to do anything but look at stats and the few highlight videos. Highlight videos don't tell you a whole lot about a player. You want to see some of the lowlights too, where they're not hitting the cutoff man or they're making errors and things like that. You don't get videos of that. But that's a lot of work doing the prospects, and I enjoy it. I don't think, because the Mets don't have a lot of prospects. Last year we did a mid-year prospect review in writing, and I don't think I'm going to do that because there's not enough to talk about. But in my next shortstops, I'll probably put a list, and people can have a look at the list. But I sit there and I want to be somewhat optimistic, and I can't stand all the naysayers. If you have nothing good to say, watch another team. That's what I say.
Yeah,
So,
just spending the summer complaining doesn't do anything. Well,
no.
Dave, this is always, it's too short. It goes by quick. It seems like it's only 5 minutes, but it goes by really, really quick. Let's do this again before the year is out. I can't wait to see the
Absolutely.
next shortstops. Appreciate it, my friend.
Absolutely. All right. Enjoy.
That's David
Good luck.
Mills. Always a pleasure bringing him on. All right, let's take a quick break. Mailbag when we come back. I already teased some of the mailbag. We'll get into the mailbag and your comments right after this.